Well, the gospel account that John gives us this evening describes for us a Passover meal. We heard it mentioned in our Old Testament reading from Exodus. Jews all over the world commemorate the Passover with a meal. It remembers when the Lord brought Israel out of bondage in Egypt. It is a special occasion. A solemn and sacred occasion. And Jesus desired to eat the Passover with his disciples. They would have the meal in Jerusalem. Being from Galilee, they needed a place where they could have this meal. The Gospel of Luke tells us that earlier in that day, Jesus had dispatched Peter and John to go and find a certain house with an upper room, and for that room to be furnished and ready. So when everyone gets to the upper room that evening, the cushions used for reclining are there. That's how they ate. They didn't eat at tables like we do. They would recline against couches or cushions and eat on a little raised platform. The meal is there. It's prepared and it smells wonderful. And there in the corner, there is a jug of water, a basin, and a towel. And that's not out of the ordinary. You see, when you traveled any distance in Israel, or in the Mideast for that point, you would get dust on your feet and dirt on your feet from the dry conditions. And when you got to somebody's house, the first thing you did was take off your sandals. And the host of the house would provide you with water and a towel to wash your own feet. Or if they had means, they would have a servant do it for you. But in this case, there is no servant. Jesus is the host. The water basin and the towel are right there. But who? Who will wash the feet? That's the question that begs. It must have been a terribly uncomfortable situation. The question that was going through the disciples' mind is, who is Jesus? Which one of us is he going to ask to wash the other's feet? Please let it not be me. But Jesus doesn't direct anyone to do the foot washing. Awkward. No one knows how to proceed. There are no volunteers. No one steps up. Remember, these are the same, very same disciples that bickered among themselves over the power structure or pecking order within their group, their status, their prestige, which would sit at Jesus' left and right. They were not thinking how they could serve, especially in such a menial task. They had been with Jesus for 3 years now, sitting and learning at his feet. How dense can they be? So they sit down for dinner without anyone washing anyone else's feet. But at this point, Jesus does the unthinkable. Without hesitation, Jesus gets up and he performs the lowly task of washing his disciples' feet. Teacher, washing his pupils' feet. The creator of the universe kneeling and washing the dirty feet of mortals. Jesus has turned the custom of foot washing on its head. And we shouldn't be surprised. Jesus frequently broke societal rules. He invited the poor to a banquet. He even had dinner with this little bitty short tax collector. He invited Mary and Martha to take part in men's discussions. He broke orthodoxy and he talked to the adulterous woman at the well. He told the judgmental law and order types, in other words, to put away their stones. Told stories in which the Samaritan is seen as good and as a hero. He healed the lame on the Sabbath, and now he washes the feet of his disciples. This, my brothers and sisters, was a powerful moment. It was a powerful act, which continues through time and tradition down to us here tonight. I said to you a couple of weeks ago, when Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers and the merchants, that Jesus was turning the world upside down. It was not unusual for him to invert customs and break societal rules, surprising people with the unexpected. In washing the disciples' feet, Jesus is pointing the disciples toward a new order, toward a new way of being, a new way of loving God, of loving their neighbors, a new way of giving and receiving love. Christ's love is demonstrated in the foot washing. It points to the love that Jesus will take to the cross. And that's where his love will take him in just a few short hours. The foot washing, you see, in and of itself, it also points to the cross. In some of my notes from seminary, which I can barely read, there was an old exegesis, and an exegesis is nothing but taking a little Bible verse and dissecting it every way you possibly can to squeeze out all of the possible meaning you can out of it. Well, I found this old exegesis that I had done, and it made a point that I hadn't remembered until I read it. But it emphasizes the wording in John's gospel. Notice how John describes Jesus' action. In our New Revised Standard Version, it says, he took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. And then, after he'd washed their feet, he had put on his robe. John gets into the detail of what Jesus takes off and what he puts on. But there's so much more there. If you look at the Greek New Testament, and you look at the Gospel of John, and it was originally written in Greek, Koine Greek, which is street Greek, common Greek. It talks about taking off and putting on, but the words that John uses in the Koine Greek are uncommon words. Words that ordinary people wouldn't use for taking off and putting on clothing. John indicates in the Greek that Jesus laid aside or laid down his clothes. And then he took them up again. And my notes from that exegesis reminded me that those same words, the same verbs, were used in John's chapter 10, where Jesus talks about laying aside or laying down his life and taking it up again. The same words that were used in the foot washing. Jesus lays down his garments and he takes them up again. In the crucifixion, Jesus lays down his life, and then in the resurrection, he takes it up again. And all of this, my brothers and sisters, is for the love of God's children. Jesus washed the disciples' feet because he was preparing them to be sent into the world. A world which is dangerous, unfriendly, and unwilling to accept change. Disciples had developed tools at his feet. They had learned lessons as they sat around. And they had knowledge But Jesus knew that they needed more. They needed to be ready to walk into the world. They needed to appreciate the necessity of loving each other, of loving their neighbors. And they needed to be able to show that love demonstrably. They needed to be humble in their proclamations. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he explained to them that he had set an example of humble service and not of domination. An example which he means to be imitated, not only by them, but by us. Serve one another as I have served you. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus met their needs that evening. And washing feet is but only one way that we meet the needs of others. Meeting the needs of those in our own congregation or in our own neighborhoods or of total strangers. The spirit of foot washing can take many forms. It can mean being a caregiver or a visitor to someone who's sick or elderly. It can mean listening to a person, hearing their story, and ratifying their humanity. It can mean delivering a basket of food or working at a food pantry, advocating for the homeless or for the abused, just to name a few. Opportunities that many of you already participate in. All of these are foot washings that you and I can do. Jesus is putting into action what God had spoken for millennia through the prophets. The prophets Micah and Isaiah have told us that we are to pour out ourselves for the hungry, the afflicted, and the persecuted. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing and will do. Pouring himself out in service and humility to all of God's children. Here is the incarnate suffering servant, the one that Isaiah recounts. And he is just hours away from betrayal. Hours away from offering himself in obedience to his Father's will. And among the very, very last things that he does is to show his love and to teach us how to love. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Jesus is calling his disciples to service. He's calling us to service. But before we can serve others, we have to remove our outer garment. We have to remove that hard shell that society places around us. We have to humble ourselves. And we have to kneel. We have to kneel in order to reach the feet of another, just as Jesus did. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Amen.